Let me add my welcome. My name is Simon Dowdy. I'm the vicar of St Botolph's Aldersgate, just by the Museum of London roundabouts, and these Moorgate talks are held under the umbrella, so to speak, of St Botolph's, so you're very welcome here. My aim in these next 15 minutes or so is simply to look at Jesus Christ's own explanation for Christmas. We've already heard something of the events of that first Christmas, how 700 years beforehand, through the prophet Micah, God said that he would send a ruler, one who would be God himself. And then the announcement to Mary that she would give birth, the birth of Jesus, the Son, the proclamation to the shepherds of his birth, all carefully told by the original gospel writers who did their research, historically reliable, trustworthy, and so on. Last week I noticed in our local bookshop in South London that Alistair Cook's biography was in the window, now of course Sir Alistair Cook. No doubt it will be compulsive reading for many cricket fans over the Christmas period as they read his own explanation of the highs and, yes, of course, the lows as well of England's cricket over the last decade or so. Well, we are going to look at Jesus' explanation, his own explanation, his executive summary, if you like, of why he came and what he came to do. And we printed it for you on the order of service. It's one verse, perhaps the most famous of all verses in the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16 from John's Gospel. Let me read it for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Notice, will you, just two things. Firstly, God loved the world. At which point, I guess we may well think to ourselves, well, there's nothing very surprising in that. It's the kind of thing perhaps we expect to hear in church. So let me ask for a moment, as you think about the world, do you think of the world as being a lovely place or an unlovely place? Not so much the world in its amazing natural beauty, but the world in terms of people. A world where the leaders of NATO, who are meant to be allies, can barely say a kind thing to each other. A world where a royal prince is caught in a cover-up involving manipulation and abuse and worse, in which climate change has become a climate emergency, in which youth crime and stabbings have continued, in which minorities the world over get trampled on by majorities. As we digest our media, do we think of the world as being a lovely place or an unlovely place? And of course, it's not just kind of out there somewhere, is it? It's in here as well. Just think of the office Christmas party. Someone told me a couple of months ago, someone with responsibility for organising the office Christmas party in his particular firm, how he was tempted to cancel it this year because of all the problems it causes. Not, I think, because he's a Scrooge, but simply because he is realistic about human nature. Or in our own lives, perhaps we can think of family feuds, family fallings out, the nightmare boss, the aggressive colleague, and so on. The world is not how we'd like it to be. Our lives are not how we'd like our lives to be. And of course, we only need to look inside our own hearts, and I only need to look inside my heart to know that I'm not the kind of person I would like to be either. And therefore, you see, it is actually a very remarkable thing indeed to read, for God so loved the world. Because the problem with our world is not primarily about how we've treated each other, it is how we've treated God. In that other reading which we had from John's Gospel, we're told that when Jesus came into the world was made through him, yet the world didn't know him. If we were to carry on reading here in John chapter 3, just a couple of sentences after this most famous of verses, Jesus says, "The light has come into the world," speaking of himself, and people love the darkness rather than the light. By nature, we don't want to know God. By nature, we hide from God. Now, I imagine that if we are honest, most of us know that that is true for ourselves. We may not have said it, but we have lived it. We may be a good person or a bad person, a kind person or an unpleasant person, and yet we have lived our own way without God. Now, that in a nutshell is the Bible's explanation, it's Jesus' explanation here of why the world as it is. And the Bible gives it a name, an explanation, one word, sin. We think of sin, of course, as the kind of stuff that gets splashed across the front page of the tabloid newspapers, but it is simply turning our backs on God. And it is how we all naturally are. And therefore, it is a very remarkable thing indeed to read from the lips of Jesus Christ himself, "For God so loved the world." But even more remarkable is, secondly, God gave his Son. Have a look at the sentence again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." Jesus Christ, as we were reminded earlier, both fully man and fully God, not simply a prophet, not simply a religious leader, but God himself come to earth in flesh and bone, just as you and I have flesh and bones. That is the claim that stands at the very heart of the Christian faith. Now, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. Every Christmas, there would be a fairly half-hearted discussion, I remember, about whether or not we would go to church. And my mother would generally say something along the lines of, "We can't both go to church and also get the turkey ready on time as well." And every year, completely without fail, the turkey won. Which is why I'm so grateful for the Christian friends who said to me when I was just beginning to think through for myself the whole question of, does God exist or not? I'm so grateful for the friend who said, "Simon, the key issue is the identity of Jesus Christ. If he wasn't God, then he simply joins the long list of other religious leaders throughout history. But if he was God, then it changes everything." And that friend was right. For a start, of course, it means that God has made himself known. It means we can know what God is like. Jesus spoke with a kind of authority that people had never heard before, the authority of God himself. He calmed a storm that was terrifying the most hardened fishermen simply with a word, the authority of the Creator directing his creation. He healed the sick on a scale unknown to humanity. He raised the dead because he is the Lord with power over life and death. And of course, 3 days after his own death, his crucifixion, then he was raised to life, never to die again. I was very struck by an interview in the paper last month. You may have seen it, with the actor and director Alan Alda. I guess he's best known for his long-running role in the TV series MASH. He went on to play the presidential candidate Arnold Vinnick in The West Wing. He was being interviewed about his latest film, Marriage Story, and it was just a wide-ranging kind of interview in which he was asked about his beliefs. And in the course of that, he simply said this: "I haven't come across any evidence for God." Now, that is a very bold claim indeed. Because at Christmas, we remember the fact that God himself has stepped into our world in history. He was seen, he was touched, he was heard. In the New Testament accounts, we have the trustworthy eyewitness testimony of those who saw him. What it means, of course, is that Jesus Christ is the expert. At home, when there's some technical IT problem, I generally turn to one of our resident experts, otherwise known as a teenager, and on the whole, they can sort it out, and if they can't sort it out, then I know I've got a real problem on my hands. Well, in a far greater way, Jesus Christ is the expert on life and death. And so notice, will you, that here, as the expert, he speaks of two destinies. Look again, he says, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's extraordinary how much of Jesus' teaching, as we read through the Gospels, is focused not on this life, but on the next. So he speaks about judgment as a reality. He speaks both of eternal life and also of perishing. And therefore it is the most wonderful thing to read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Because Jesus didn't simply come into the world to show us what God is like, although he does do that. He came into the world to die. In other words, you see, we can't really think about Christmas without also thinking ahead to Easter. Indeed, in this part of John's Gospel, Jesus has been speaking of his crucifixion, of his being lifted up on a cross. Jesus died to pay the penalty for our rejection of God. He bore God's judgments on sin in himself. Which means that for those who believe in him, here is the promise, not of eternal perishing, but instead of eternal life. Christmas is not just about the birth of God the Revealer, it's also about the birth of God the Rescuer. That's why it's often said that Christianity is a rescue religion. I wonder if you read about the arrangements that the department store Harrods have made this year for anyone who wants to go and see Father Christmas in the Harrods department store. What's the catch? Well, apparently you can only visit Father Christmas this year if you have spent £2,000 on the Harrods credit card beforehand. Well, one parent was heard to complain. They've lost the true meaning of Christmas. Whether they spotted the irony in that complaint, I do not know. Christianity is not a pay-as-you-go religion. Unlike every other religion, it is not about earning your way to God, because we can't earn our way to God. None of us can be good enough for God, which is why it's such brilliant news that Christianity is about rescue. It's 10 years since US Airways Flight 1549 took off from LaGuardia Airport in New York, bound for Charlotte, North Carolina. Shortly after takeoff, it struck a flock of Canada geese and lost power in both engines. The pilot, Chesley Sullenberger, managed to glide the plane down. He landed it on the Hudson River. It was known as the Miracle on the Hudson. Indeed, you may well have seen the film starring Tom Hanks. Now, I wonder what those survivors would say now to that pilot 10 years on. I guess something like, he saved my life. Just as there will be countless numbers in eternity who are praising Jesus Christ in a similar but far, far greater way. God loved the world. God gave his Son. Which means, of course, that we face a choice. As Jesus says in our verse again, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Notice Jesus says that it's our response to him that determines the future. We can believe in him, we can experience life with God now as a forgiven person and life with God in eternity, or we can do nothing and we can live without God in this life and we can live without him in eternity. Now, I guess there'll be a whole range of people here this lunchtime. For those who do believe in Jesus Christ already, Christmas, of course, is a wonderful time to celebrate. And it's a great thing to make sure that Jesus Christ is at the very heart and centre of our celebrations. But I guess there'll be others, and perhaps we've never heard before why Jesus came. Or perhaps we've never really given him much thought, or he investigated the claim, and we'd love you to do so, and Phil will make a couple of suggestions later on before we finish about how we can do that. But I want to end by reading about how one person, not from a religious background at all, came to put their trust in Jesus. Let me read this for us. As the weeks went by, I began to realise that I simply hadn't understood what I'd been rejecting. I hadn't seen how central Jesus is. Christianity isn't a philosophy, but about a person. I'd never grasped the compelling evidence that he really rose from the dead and is alive today. I hadn't seen how real Christianity differs from religion. It's not about what we do for God, but what God has done for us. I'd never understood the significance for us that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. I simply hadn't understood what I'd been rejecting. God loved the world. God gave his Son. Let's stand for our final carol.